Concert calendar at croonersmn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And as you know, Wendy, this is a show about Native issues and events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. We're having a grand reopening on March 15th, and we're located at 700 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis. First floor of the Dayton's building.
Yeah, right on. We're going to have Henry Boucher on Saturday sign autographs and bring his book down. It's going to be a big deal. We might even do our show live there at 1 o'clock. We haven't really looked into the specifics there, but, you know, we're really excited to have Henry. You know, mm-hmm. Henry was a silver medalist, a North Star, Fighting Saint, Philadelphia Flyer, and from War Road, Minnesota.
Hockey player, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Know anything about hockey, but yeah, he's a hockey player, yes.
Hey, before we get to our guest reporter, let's talk about a few things here.
Mm-hmm.
Gina Peltier is going to be on in just a second, but I just want to say Founders Day is coming up in Ho-Chunk Nation. And also last night, congratulations, Reservation Dogs, on winning the 2022 Spirit Awards for Best Ensemble Cast last night in Los Angeles. It's amazing.
That's great. That's such good news.
Right. And before we get any further here, I just want to give my brothers and sisters a shout-out in Minneapolis and St. Paul, me being a former high school teacher in St. Paul for almost 30 years. I want to just give them a shout out, and I'm behind you 100%. You know, fight mm-hmm. the power, fight the power. There, I know most teachers are there not for the paycheck. They're there for the students, mm-hmm. and I know.
But they still have to have a living wage. They still have bills to pay and families to take care of, so they deserve money.
Exactly. Well, I think, too, Wendy, the paras deserve money because mm-hmm. they're below poverty. They're getting paid, and they're boots on the ground just like the teachers, and I think there should be in between mm-hmm. where they get paid a lot more because
Absolutely. It's
crazy. This is our youth and mental health and all these things that we need to support. But, hey, before we get too much further into my opinion, why don't we get Gina on here and say, Gina, what's happening? Welcome to Native Roots Radio, as always.
Hey, Buju, Robert and Wendy. Thank you so much for having me on.
So it's great. What do we got going on? What's happening up in the deep north? And also, I should also let our guests or our audience know that you work with Honor the Earth, too. So tell us what's happening up in the deep north and what with all the shenanigans up there.
We're causing some good trouble as always and been just as busy as ever, you know, keeping up the fight with Line 3 and Line 5. We also mm-hmm. have this other project that is coming to the surface, which is the Hubert Project. I'm so sorry, guys.
No problem.
This company, they want to build a lumber mill here in the city of Cohasset. And there's plenty of dangers going on with that. But so it looks like tomorrow the city of Cohasset will make their decision as the responsible government union on the Huber Frontier Project at 7 p.m. tomorrow at the Cohasset Civic Center. So we have decided to go ahead and meet them there. Tribal members of the Leech Lake Band, local citizens, and water protectors will be gathering in solidarity against the Huber Frontier Project outside of the Cohasset Civic Center at 6:30 prior to the council's much-anticipated announcement. An economic nonprofit board out of Itasca is also holding an event in support of the project that they are calling the Huber Huddle, also at the Cohasset Civic Center tomorrow. So we have over potentially 10,000 public comments submitted. We are hoping that we're going to have a really, really good turnout, because this project is not good for anybody.
Yeah, can you get a little deeper on that? Because it sounds like to me, after watching what they did with Line 3 and cutting down all those trees, they're going to be doing stuff like that, and also toxic glue and putting together these plywood boards that are going to go into our clean water and our aquifer.
Yeah, it's really scary. So this Huber Engineers Woods, they are based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They're proposing this frontier project, which they're going to take up 750,000 square foot wood processing plant in Cohasset. And there are so many bad things regarding this. It's going to cause increased air pollution. It will be the 11th largest greenhouse gas emitter, which almost doubles the pollution in the area from the Boswell Energy Plant, and could result in acid rain. I mean, that's scary, you know, causing broader ecosystem damage in the region, you know. And Leech Lake already suffers from the pollution of the nearby coal plant, and they have a Superfund site from a previous paper mill. And this is an extreme example of environmental racism, that another massive polluting project would even be considered, given how much is already there. You know, and then also, you know, Huber intends to drain and fill forest wetlands to build this mill. You know, that threatens fish and wildlife habitat. It reduces food supply from hundreds of acres of wild rice. And then it'll diminish wetlands on the Mississippi, which increases downstream flooding. And then, you, of course, you know, you always have to talk about the over-harvested forests. Huber has indicated that the plant will consume 614 million board feet annually. You know, in perspective, that is half of the timber production of all state timberlands being taken from only one corner of our state. There was no tribal consultation. And then, of course, you know, there is going to be destruction of bald eagle's nests. Huber stated they will destroy two nests to construct their mill. You know, eagles are Migizi. You know, they're sacred to us, to the Anishinaabe people. They're a federally protected bird, you know, including their nests. And Huber's profits aren't more valuable than an eagle's nest. Go ahead.
No, that really hits my heart, especially because I do the sacred animals section here on Native Roots Radio. And, you know, these eagles, they stay in the nest for generations, and they keep these nests. And it just breaks my heart that they're, you know, ruining this beautiful land for this paper. It's
and
ridiculous.
To get a little deeper on that, Wendy and Gina, you know, those nests that are made are for generations and generations of eagles, too. It isn't like they just make one. It's just like their kids and grandkids take these nests over. Mm-hmm. We've seen nests as big as a Volkswagen, you know.
Yeah, it's really sad. And Ogama was talking about this, saying that they're mixing this wood with glue, and it's really toxic, and it gets into the ground and the water, and it's just really going to be a mess.
Again, if these are such a good idea, how about putting one of these up in St. Paul or Minneapolis, you know, where these politicians are and these rule makers?
Exactly. Well, right. I mean, like you said, Wendy, it is toxic manufacturing. The Huber mill will construct oriented strand board or particle board, you know, and it raises serious health concerns due to the potential chemical off-gassing. And it also creates significant harmful wastewater in a wetland. So, you know, on top of, you know, the eagle's nest and the toxic manufacturing, you know, they're trying to say, you know, this is going to produce jobs. But almost a quarter of the Huber mill costs is going to be paid by taxpayers. So it just, it doesn't make sense.
No, nothing does. And that's keep blasting out this information. Come on. If you can, come on by tomorrow and let's talk some more. Gina Peltier with Honor the Earth and just an all-around great water protector and great person. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, great information. Everybody go out there and give your legislators and representatives a call and tell them you do not want this.
Up next, Dr. Stately and then Heather Keeler. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Biju, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, it's Monday, and we're leading off here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic, and we talk a lot about a lot of stuff here. And I know last week we were talking a little bit about mental health, what's up next with us. And I don't know. Did you see the 60 Minutes piece about COVID this last Sunday?
I did not. I didn't get home from New Ulm until... yeah, well into the evening.
Yes, and congratulations on your boys. They did a great job. Tell our audience about your good news with your hockey boys.
My sons were in the regional playoffs for the southern region of Minnesota for the B1 Bantam bracket, our league, and they took first place. They took the championship. So
that's so great, really.
Yeah. So we're headed for state in a couple weeks.
Fantastic.
They are one of eight teams that are going to battle it out for a state championship.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. Best wishes, really.
I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but on the 19th, we're going to have Henry Boucher signing books and memorabilia down at our store for the grand opening week. And so we're really excited to have Henry come down. I just talked to him, and we have got the sign up, and we're ready to go. I can't talk today, Wendy.
Well, you know, I'm not too far behind you. You know, I'm really proud of my sons. I'm very proud of them. They worked hard to get this far in their little hockey careers, and you know, there's not. there's just not a lot of Native people who play hockey in our region, in our, you know, in the southern region, and specifically in our district. And there, I think there are two of like maybe three hockey players that are Indigenous and Native. And so, like, you know, it's, and there's a whole lot of reasons why that's true. I think mostly it's how expensive the sport is, but, you know, and it's also a very white dominated sport. But, you know, I'm really proud of them. They worked hard to get to how far they are. It's their last year of association hockey. Next year, they'll be trying out for the high school hockey team. And, you know, they'll be on their way, hopefully, to a nice high school career and also on to college, hopefully, playing hockey. They're really good at it. And I'm proud. They persevered. You know, they've learned a lot through the process, the value of perseverance and hard work and, you know, putting your head down and doing what you need to do to get the job done. So,
yeah, you really can't fake hockey. You really can't. You have to really work it hard. Now, you know, in baseball, I could, you know, daydream and, you know, kind of look at the butterflies. But hockey, you got to, like, really work it.
Well, you know, baseball is, you know, how what I said last week.
Butterflies and hockey. Yeah.
Rainbows and butterflies.
Rainbows and butterflies. And I'm not a good fan of baseball.
Easy. I
grew up with it, but, you know.
We'll have to go to a Twins game.
Yeah, down to the store and meet Henry Boucher. I'm sure they would love that. They follow his grandson. His grandson's on the War Road team. They're going to state.
Yeah.
And they're really excited about you know, them. They Prior Lake, their own team, is going to state as well. And they said, we're not going to root for them. We're going to root for War Road.
Nice. Oh, nice. Wow. Well, you know, it's awesome too. I think Ogama was on, and we're going to probably have an announcement tomorrow. We just talked to her today, but we can't say anything, Dr. Stately, but read between the lines. She would be popping up pictures of your sons, and I know they got their haircut, but they still have some nice hockey hair, you know?
Yeah.
And Ogama's daughter, Anna, I think she's 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says on the commercial, she's 8 years old. She got her jab, but she plays hockey too. She plays girls hockey.
That's so cool. I think, you know, girls playing hockey is really cool. I think it's really cool. In our district, we have one of their friends on their team has a girl. His sister is his twin. She plays with the boys.
Really?
She's played for like the last 3 years. She's a really good player. Yeah.
Wow. So that's great. I love that.
Hockey is cool. So.
Well, too, also we have Gary Sargent. There, you know, and Henry was telling me that there is an Indigenous Hall of Fame in Minnesota. So I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of those old timers to come on the show too. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Yeah. Henry's a good guy, and we're going to get stuff down there for him to sign. And, you know, he's had some health problems, so it'll be good for him to get out. He's got a little valve in his heart that's sticking that he's waiting for the Mayo to fix that for him. But he's in good spirits, and I think it's a slam dunk if once he gets it taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. So you didn't see the 60 Minutes in the episode? They were basically.
I didn't. What was it about?
They basically said COVID's over.
Is that the official announcement?
No, but I mean the what they were talking about is the strain of Delta was totally gone. And then what's the other one, Wendy?
Omicron.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
that one is peaking now, and there's no other strains that they're finding as of now, as of yesterday. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But again, it kind of echoed when I was listening to that, what we talked about last week in the mental health of our nation, of our kids. You know, St. Paul, Minneapolis are going on a strike because of that. They want to support and get more counselors and smaller classrooms. And so we're going to come out of this possibly, but we really need to, I don't know. You're the expert. What do we need to do?
Well, I love you dearly, but I want to just correct what you said. So I want to make sure people are hearing this accurately.
Yeah.
Omicron, COVID-19 is not over.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. And I was just talking with some folks about this today, because I'm part of another news organization's name, which I will not, which we will
easy,
not mention.
Easy. It gives you cred, though.
And we're talking about our next episode and that we're going to do, and what's the discussion point. And I think one of the things I think that's important is, like, we have to recognize that a couple different things. One is that we're likely entering what's to be called an endemic with COVID-19, with coronavirus. And what that means is it's going to end up being something that we sort of kind of just live with in perpetuity, much like the cold, much like the flu. Mm-hmm. Maybe it might be a little bit more severe than the flu. I don't know. Who's to know where we end up with that? But the challenge with that is that, like some of these other things that we live with as endemics, meaning they kind of cycle through and they come back every couple of years, every year or two, with a new strain of something transmissible through airborne processes, much like what it is now. It's hard to know, like, what the future is going to look like, right? If whether or not that's going to be less virulent or more virulent, it's hard to know whether or not we're going to be out of the woods here soon, or if we're going to be kind of like on the edge of the woods for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to understand, which is that, you know, it doesn't mean, like, you know, I wouldn't be like the Munchkins holding hands and singing Ding Dong, which is dead just yet. No one's actually dropped a house yet.
Right. Wait, I'm a lot taller in person.
There was a meme on social media, and it was kind of like the coronavirus cell, you know, talking, and it was like, oh, everybody thinks that, you know, I'm gone, and now everybody's, you know, the people who aren't getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated, mm-hmm. and everybody who's vaccinated now are going out and partying and whatever, ha ha ha, you know, because I'm waiting here for all you idiots to do this, you know. That's what the COVID-19, you know, the cell said.
So. Well, and that's a great point, Wendy and Dr. Stately. They did say last night too that the statistics of people dying that weren't vaccinated as opposed to vaccinated were staggering. It was staggering.
Mm-hmm. Just the research and the evidence, the data is like tells a very, you know, very clear and convincing, cogent argument is the vaccine. If you get the vaccine, you are less likely to get severely ill. You are less likely to become hospitalized. You are less likely to die. And now that's not to say that, you know, we don't have breakthrough cases. I lost a friend this last week who had a breakthrough case. She got really sick.
So sorry.
And so, like, it is true that these things will happen, but it's, and so I was just really quickly, I want to encourage people, like, use common sense, use your intellect, use your intuition, and use common sense to sort of kind of guide your decision-making moving forward, recognizing that we're not out of the woods yet.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bougie relatives, my name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Shroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at shromanlaw.com. That's shromenlaw.com.
Spruce up your home with soy candles from Wisco Home Goods. I'm Don, one of the owners of this family-owned Midwestern business in Madison, Wisconsin. Our candles are 100% sustainable and come in a variety of unique blends and scents. Did you know our candle jars are also double old-fashioned glasses? That's right, buy a candle and you get a free cocktail glass. Check out our blog at wiscohomegoods.com/blog for more information. That's wiscohomegoods.com/blog.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 16, Tuesday partly cloudy with a high near 36, and Wednesday sunny with a high near 21. Crooner's Supper Club is back after some renovations that included a new dining room, a new bar called Maggie's Lounge, and expanded main stage seating. So enjoy a delicious dinner and music from some of the best jazz artists. That's Crooner's Supper Club on Moore Lake off Highway 65 and 694. Find the concert calendar at croonersmn.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, on Lake Street Avenue. And after that, we're going to have State Representative Heather Keeler on, and we're going to just hang out and discuss. So she's got a few things to bring up. But I'm not able to find your pictures. Could you do me a favor, Dr. Stately, and tell us what you're on a podcast? You want to just talk about that a little bit? I was just giving you.
I'm one of a couple of people who co-host a discussion around COVID-19 and its impact on Native communities. That's aired on NPR. And and a number of other stations actually, because it's produced through Ampers. But myself and Leah Lam host interviews and discussions with people in the community, and we cover topics that are salient to the community and as it relates to COVID-19. And we did a series of five shows last year. We're doing another five starting this next month here, this month in a couple of weeks, it should be airing. And we're going to be talking about a lot of the things we've been talking about now, just like, how do I make sense of what seems to be like people's sort of relaxation around COVID-19 guidelines and safety protocols and those kinds of things? Does this mean we're done with COVID? Those kinds of things. We'll probably address some of that stuff in that first episode. And we share a lot of stories with people from the community as well. And I'm kind of a co-host. So, and it's a conversation. It's called Community Conversations is the name of the show. I'll share the link with you when we air it.
Well, definitely too. And Leah has been on our show many times, and I've been interviewed by her, and she's a pro. And it's makes me look silly, Wendy, is when you have pros.
She's awesome to work with. I like, when she reached out to me originally, her and the producer, and asked me to do it, I was like, I'm kind of anxious. I've never really like been involved in a talk show, really, beyond this, what we do. They were like, you'll be just fine. You're a good conversationalist, and that's really what you need to be a host of the show. So that's why you're so good. You're a great conversationalist.
Well, I Pini Gigi, but this is a talk show, Dr. Stately, been on for over years. So just a FYI.
Yeah.
No, you are time. Just giving you hard time.
Well, I just have to give you hard time.
Well, I got you back for saying that we were located on Lake Street. So, because we're not located on Lake Street, we're located on Franklin Avenue.
God. You know, maybe you aren't on a talk show. Maybe you're an upside down world here, come to think. Well, poor Wendy's used to this. She's going to put me in a good home someday.
This is our daily conversations at our house.
So I know we're pressed for time because the esteemable Heather Keeler is going to be on next. But I think one of the things I want to say in returning to our earlier conversation is that we are definitely not out of the woods with COVID-19. First of all, if the pandemic has taught us one thing, it's taught us that we are all connected to each other globally, whether we realize it or not, right? And in ways that are seen and unseen, right? One of the things that we have to recognize is that a great portion of the world across the ocean, on the other side of the world, is, and in developing countries, are not vaccinated. They don't have access to the vaccine. And so they are struggling to sort of like, get anywhere close to what we are as a society. So we have to do our share of trying to continue to sort of make sure that we can reach a 70 to 80% of global vaccination. Otherwise, we'll continue to see, variants of concern, right? And so that's important to recognize and important to remember. And then we don't know really the long-term effects of long COVID for ourselves and our families and our communities. We don't know the long-term effects of this pandemic and the isolation and all the other things that it has created, the trauma, the loss, the isolation, the loneliness, the despair, all of those things, then an impact it will have on individuals and families and communities for decades, right? We haven't even begun to estimate what that looks like. And so recognizing that it's not over is a really important thing. So you yourself personally might be vaccinated fully and boosted, and you might not necessarily be at a significant threat, but the people around you that are important to you, the people you work with, you socialize with, you go to school with, you share the bus with, you walk by in the Skyway when you're going to Native Roots Radio's store. Those are all things that you need to remember and try and do your part to sort of like be thoughtful about other people and the impact it has on them, so that we can all have a chance at having a good, healthy existence, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's I'm glad you brought that up and straightened me out on that, dead serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are boots on the ground, and you know, I'm in my little office playing legislator and not getting out there and hearing a lot of things all day. So that's great that we have you on, and great to have the opposite of fake news.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, you know, there's people out there who are still, they just will not get vaccinated. It's end of the story. And there's nothing that you could say that's going to change their mind. And that makes me really sad and upset.
You know, one of the things, though, too, and I don't want to blow our own horn, but I know there's been community members that have switched gears because of Dr. Stately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you bringing the truth like you are today and every day. But seriously, mm-hmm. I've heard people, and I'd like to say their names, but they'd get mad, mm-hmm. That are vaccinated now because of what you say here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that lots of people have concerns about things like I've heard all of the conversations, you know, I know people who've gotten the vaccine, fully vaccinated and boosted, and they still got COVID-19. Yeah. So what's the use? I've heard all the conversations and the excuse about that. And it's kind of like, what I try to do to tell people is like, okay, the vaccines aren't intended to prevent you from necessarily getting COVID-19 again, although it does a really great job at that. It's really designed to keep you from getting seriously sick and dying. Does it mean it's going to work 100% of the chance? No, it doesn't mean that. But I want to also tell people, like, you know, as a society, we sort of kind of sign up for this social contract thing where we say, okay, we do some of these practices because not because they're comfortable, actually, quite honestly, because we do some of the things even in spite of them being uncomfortable. Here's an example. We have been using seatbelts now for about 30, 40 years, fairly consistently. They are the law of the land, pretty much across the entire country. People resisted it when it first started. What the hell am I doing that for? What's the point of doing that kind of a thing? And then now here we are 30, 40 years later, we do it regularly and consistently most of the time, but we have clear and convincing evidence that every time you wear your seatbelt, you have about a 90 to 95% chance that you're likely to survive a car accident if you have one. Without a seatbelt, your chances of surviving a serious car accident plummet, right? That's a parallel sort of thing to think about here in terms of our conversation around the coronavirus and getting a vaccine versus not getting a vaccine. It's really about like, and you know, if you choose not to do something like not wear your seatbelt and drive and get in a car accident, and you choose not to have a vaccine and you get really, really sick and you die, mm-hmm. like that's your responsibility. You made a choice, right? And yep. And it's sad. The difference here is that it's not even different. In both of these situations, other people pay the cost dearly for you not making a good choice.
Wow, Wendy, great analogy.
I love it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell, when people ask me questions, that's what I'm going to tell them. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I do get the hair in the back of my neck does stand up when I hear a lot of people that are anti-vaxxers come at me with that statement of, hey, my friend got COVID and they were fully vaccinated and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I've had like relatives get sick more than once. Fully vaccinated. My best friend from high school, one of my best dearest, I love her to death. I'm going to miss her so much. Made me laugh every single time I spent time with her. She had such a great spirit and a wonderful sense of humor. And she died last Wednesday. Her family took mm-hmm. her off her life support. She had been mm-hmm. sick for about a month and a half, almost 2 months, but she had been fully vaccinated. And yes, it does happen. And am I salty about it? Hell yeah, I am, because I love that woman to death. Mm-hmm. I love her. I love her so much. She was such an amazing woman.
So I'm
sad and I'm upset, mm-hmm. but I also know that nobody else gets to make the choice about whether we're here or not, but mm-hmm. Creator. When it's our time, right?
Mm-hmm. But
while we're here, we can do our best to be a good relative and make good choices and use our intellect, our intuition, and our common sense to make good decisions for ourselves, our families, and our communities. And that's all we can really expect anybody to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I was, a transplant patient and I was on medications that bring my immune system down, I would think I would be upset with people who don't want to get vaccinated because I would feel that they don't care about me.
Yeah.
And they're keeping me, staying in the house more and having to be extra careful. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one, Dr. Stately. Hey, we're going to end the segment right now here, Wendy and Dr. Stately. Up next, we got State Representative Heather Keeler, and we're checking in with her. She's got some exciting news, and as always, it's great to see that young warrior doing what she's doing. And stay with us, Dr. Stately, and we'll have a little conversation with State Representative Heather Keeler.
Stay with us, and I'm sure Dr. Stately has changed more minds tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I knew COVID wasn't over. I just wanted to push your button, and you did a great job on this talk show.
I'm gonna get you a little Oompa Loompa, a munchkin to hold on to.
Yes.
We'll be right back with State Representative Heather Keeler.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
Don't let COVID spoil winter fun for your family. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free for everyone, and are now available for anyone over the age of 5. Booster shots are also recommended for everyone 12 and older if it's been more than 5 months since your previous vaccination. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Okay, Heather, that was lame. No howl from the state representative. I don't know if we should do it over again or what.
You know, it's always so wonderful to listen to you all howl.
There you go. Hey, we only got a quick 9 minutes here, and I want you to get the word out of what you have come on the show to talk about. So I'm going to give you the floor. Say hi to Dr. Stately. He's listening in, and he's still on the show here. There he is. All right. Let her rip, State Representative.
Sure, that sounds good. I always appreciate having the opportunity to be here. I think actually the last time I was on is when I took over the show, and then I haven't been back. So thank you for that opportunity. I don't know if I told you how much I appreciate you all letting me use your platform to talk about murder and missing Indigenous women and the work that we're doing. So thank you for that. Also, Dr. Staley, I have Representative Aisha Gomez in my office, and so she was like talking about you, so I figure like we're gonna virtually say hi to each other in that space. Okay, but why I'm here, one of the things that we've been talking about and one of the things I try to talk about is like, what is the process of policy making? You know, I wasn't like in the market to be a politician when I decided to run. And the reason why I ran is because locally, I led the effort to pass Indigenous Peoples Day in the city of Moorhead. And that really started because I was a Native American liaison and we wanted to talk about it in school. And our superintendent at the time told us that we couldn't do anything in the schools around Indigenous Peoples Day until our city recognized it. So I moved to the city level, got that done. And when I decided to run for the House seat, one of the things I said right away was I was gonna work on making Indigenous Peoples Day a state recognized holiday in the state of Minnesota. And so that's what I'm working on doing. We've talked about it in some other spaces, but we actually have bill language out there that one would recognize the second Monday in October as Indigenous Peoples Day, which is similar to other states. That's been done. And so we're looking to do that. But there's a unique level to our language in the state of Minnesota is because there is an education component to it. It states that if a school is in presence or in session on Indigenous Peoples Day, they would be required to at least do a minimum of 1 hour of a conversation around sovereign nations, language, treaty responsibilities, and it lists out different examples that our schools could do. We know that the conversation around adding curriculum, like a whole entire curriculum piece, is really difficult to get through. What I'm asking is that we literally just have a conversation about it for an hour. So where we are in this process is a bill is drafted, and anybody can go out and just Google Minnesota House File 2856, and it will bring up the language if anybody wants to see what language looks like. But then the next step in this process is we have a hearing. And so this Wednesday, we're actually going to hear it in our education policy committee. And so what this does is now we're reaching back out to community to say, who wants to join in this fight? Who wants to have their voice documented in this fight? There's ways that you can do that. You can sign up to be a public testifier, or you can write a written testimony and we can submit it to all of the members of the committee. The way that this path goes is it starts in education policy because there's an element of policy that is around education. It has to pass out of that committee and then head over to state gov finance. And so this is going to be an ongoing conversation. I shared my LA's email, and if you can share it on the screen, if anybody is interested in signing up for updates on where we are in the process, email my LA. Robert, I don't know if you guys can put it on the screen. She will keep track of who is interested in getting updates, who will share out how to sign up to be a testifier. An LA. So my LA is my legislative assistant. She keeps track of me and my schedule and all of the work that we do. And so she's going to be the one, Robin Schmidt is her name. She's going to be the one keeping this ongoing database of anybody who's interested in following the path. And the thing is that it happens really, really quick. So if anybody wants to write a written testimony for Wednesday's hearing, we need to have that by tomorrow, highlighting why you feel it's important that if schools are in session, we talk about Indigenous Peoples Day or Indigenous history or even Indigenous contemporary. We're still here. We're not just pieces of history. We're still actively working and living and breathing in this space. So if anybody wants to write any letters of support, if anybody wants to be on the list for updates, please email us. I don't know. Hopefully it shows up on the screen. I put it in our chat, but it's robin.schmidt@house.mn. So that's where we're at. We're on a path to make Indigenous Peoples Day a state recognized holiday here in the state of Minnesota, requiring our schools to talk about a piece of Indigenous history or current status for 1 hour if they're in school on that day.
Heather, can you repeat the email again for people who are not on Facebook?
It's robin.schmidt at house.mn.
Awesome. Thank you.
They can probably also look up you on the Minnesota House website, and then if you look for her, you'll see her legislative aide will also probably have a live link below her name with all of her information.
That is true.
And I want to encourage our audience and our listeners to sort of do that, to sort of engage. This is a part of our civic responsibility as human beings and as community members and, you know, people in our communities and our families. And this is the opportunity for us to sort of act and, you know, practice the fundamental right we have to sort of, like, you know, advocate for ourselves and for our children, for our families and our community. And it's not, you know, you don't have to make the letter really long and illustrative. You don't, you just tell, you know, state why you think it's an important thing to do. And you don't have to be like anybody really significantly important. They want to hear from everyday folk as well and why that's important to them and to their families. So just, you know, rattle off a letter really quickly and get it there. You could probably also send emails, I would imagine. Can you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, it's important that it's not just Indigenous voices. You know, we hear a lot about schools that do already celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, and they bring in dancers or, you know, people who can share conversations about our language, beadwork, you know, all of these most, you know, the most beautiful parts of our culture, really. So if anybody out there is listening that, you know, you've seen this be positively impactful for your students in a school district, those voices absolutely matter.
Yeah. As a former high school teacher, and a representative of a tribe, even though, yeah, that was hard for me to say, Dr. Stately, I will be sending a letter too, because I know how important this is, especially for everyone. We're still here, and a great point, Heather, we are not dinosaurs. We're still living, breathing people in this community.
Yeah, very important. I plan to write a letter. I think it's uniquely important to the well-being and the mental health and the learning of my children in high school. And my kids go to school in Prior Lake High School in Prior Lake, and, you know, there's lots of stuff happening there around equity and inclusion and diversity and all the ways in which they're not getting things right. So I'll write a nice letter too, testifying for you. Thank you for introducing that, Bill. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, really great job, Heather. I'm going to be reaching out to you we're going on vacation, so possibly you'll be hosting the show one day here, because I know you're really good at that. So we'll have to check your schedule.
Yeah, you will have to check my schedule. Do you know how hard it is to get anywhere at any time? But I got your back, Robert, if you need me.
We'll check with your LA.
Yeah, we'll check with your good idea. Well, thank you so much, Pini Gi, two superstars here, and what makes Native Roots Radio what it is. Dr. Stately, Heather Keeler, and we earlier had Gina Peltier of Honor the Earth on. Mm-hmm. Ogama, we're going to have some big news for tomorrow about Ogama. We're keeping it under wraps right now, but I saw she was mentioning stuff on the chat, so I don't feel bad about that.
Yes, we're wishing Ogama, her family, Jace, her husband, and her daughter, Anna, best wishes, and we're praying real hard for you.
We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.